Okay, we're going to go ahead and start our study of 1 John. We finished chapter 4 last week. Today we're going to pick up at the beginning of chapter 5. Of course, we'll take a quick review of what we studied last week. Well, we studied the scripture in chapter 4 that tells us that God is love. One of the most memorable scriptures of the book of 1 John. Today, we'll see John continue to discuss what love means to God and what God's love means to us. And we've talked about how the epistle of 1 John is full of reassurance. And among the many other things he reassures us of, now he gives us the reassurance that those who believe in Jesus may share in the victory Jesus won over the world. If we believe in Jesus, we can overcome this world. Just overcoming the world, getting past all the things of this world, getting past all the things the world throws at us, just to be able to overcome this world. So one of the greatest reassurances that we pick up from 1 John. Leanna's going to go ahead and lead a short time of prayer, then we'll pick up with the class. Thank you. Okay, go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to reread some of the scripture we read last week just to bring it back to mind to talk about how it leads into this week's scripture. Also, toward the end of class, as Phil is writing an announcement on the board, toward the end of class today, I'm going to hand out a survey about the Sunday classes. We've been reminding you about this for the last couple of weeks. So we're not going to hand it out during class. Don't want you to be distracted by other things during class. So look for it to come out at the end of class. And if you do have to leave early, we can get you one a little later. And I'm going to try to finish the class a few minutes early so we have some time in case you want to do it right away. Let's see. We're going to start reading in chapter 4, verse 16, because it's this as one of the scriptures always very, very reassuring, this simple idea that God is love. We're going to start from there and then read through the first five verses of chapter 5. Doc, can you read from verse 16 through the end of chapter 4? And Norma, can you read the first five verses of 1 John 5 for us?
And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. In fact, help for God to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Thank you. That ties together what we studied last week with the scripture we're going to study this morning. John says, toward the beginning of last week's reading, he says, this is love. He tells us this is what love is about. This is how God showed his love amongst us. And it talks about how we can live in God and God can live in us. God is the source of genuine love. God is the only place we can learn what genuine love is about. We get reassurance from God. The reassurance about things that are transcend this world's limitations. So when we come to the scripture we just reread, it says we know and rely on the love God has for us. It says, this is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. We didn't have enough time to talk about that last week. So let's think about this a little more before we proceed to chapter 5. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Think about that. What that says. Just try to rephrase that in your own words, or even if you can't quite say the whole thing, kind of a lot of deep thoughts in there. Just what does that say to you when you hear John write that? This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Anyone wants to tackle it? Norma looks ready.
Well, when judgment comes, we all have to stand before God. And the Bible tells us that we will be silent. We have no defense.
You can't find it. You can't, no excuses, no rationalizations.
We're not going to say, well, Ted made me do that. I can't blame it on anyone else. Mm-hmm. You gotta watch out for him. Anyhow, I think this completeness is through Christ. When we stand before God, we have confidence.
Okay.
Jesus.
Certainly, you caught the main point. The confidence has to come from Jesus' love,
yes.
The love,
yes.
Jesus has for us. So that's a good way of cutting quick to the end, so to speak.
It goes back to the love of God, and John 3:16, he loved us so much that he gave his son. That we could stand before. Now I'm
finished. Okay. Sure. As we read a little before in 1 John 4, this is love. God sent his son in the world. This is what love is all about. David?
I was going to say, it's a demonstrated love. It's just not a something in our mind that we're, it's a great thought. But it was definitely demonstrated.
Yeah, that God has shown us his love for us is real. He doesn't just say, I love you, I just care about you, and leave it at that. He shows that his love is real. He helps us to feel it, and not necessarily always in tangible terms of this world, but he shows it in meaningful ways. Does things to show us how much he really loves for us.
He reiterates the very same, in 1 John, he reiterates what Jesus says in John 17:20. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may know, may believe that thou hast sent me. And so, that's in John. And here again, he says that Jesus is in love, is in heaven with God, and God abides in him, and God abides in him, and he abides in God. And then in 17 he says, as he is, so are we. And so we also abide in him. So it's a fulfillment of Jesus' prayer. The difference is that Jesus is doing this in heaven while we're doing it on earth. But it says, as we do it in the world. And so I think that it's just that syncretism, if you want to think of it as synthesis of heaven and earth, are joined by Christians as we're on the world, yes, in the world at this point.
Yeah, synchronicity between yes, things going on in heaven and on earth. And I know some of you come from the 70s, remember a song about that, but that's beyond this class's dimensions. But it says it very true, what he's lovely shows us in heaven, we show each other on earth. And that's what he means, God's love is made complete among us so that we can have confidence on the day of judgment. So this confidence then, because, look, I'm loving you, everybody. God's love is made complete among me, I'm a perfect lover. Does that make me confident? Of course you know that's a trick question.
It's not what you do, it's what he
does. It's what God has done for us. And the more we come to learn to love each other, that gives us confidence because we understand how God has cared for us, his love for us. The more we learn to love each other, we realize a little bit more, oh, that's how much God loves me. God softened my stubborn heart to show some compassion to someone. That reminds me, that's how much God has done for you. Just a very slight reminder. It's so easy for us to get frustrated or upset with somebody or be hurt by somebody. Each time we overcome that, just get past that, forgive someone, be kind to someone who hurt us, do something nice to someone who was in trouble. Just a simple reminder, this is one little tiny measure of the love God has poured out for you. That's how it leads us to have confidence. Tying together what Mike was talking about, this is why he tells us, you learn to let God's love flow for you, that will actually give you confidence in what he's done for you. Anything we do for each other, any kindness we show each other, that comes from God. That's God's love acting in us in a very, very, very minor level. But it's things we do for each other reminds us this is the love God has for you. As he says then, in this world, we are like Jesus. We're just trying to be like Jesus, learning what it means to live like Jesus. Then he says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Think about what this means. Perfect love drives out fear. Whose perfect love drives out whose fear?
God's perfect love drives any fear we have out. Because we have Jesus Christ.
Pretty much the way of putting it. Now look at it from a different point of view then. The more you love people, you really learn to have compassion for people, be attached to people, grow in your compassion for someone else. Does that make you feel very comfortable with everything that happens with them? Or does it actually arouse some new fears? Think about that for a minute. Don't answer quickly. As Boris Karloff used to say on his TV show, don't jump to conclusions because you might be right. When you learn to love people, of course, a lot of good things come with it. Brings a different side though. Where you love someone, you see them stumbling around or in danger, what does that arouse in you?
Concern, fear.
You fear for them. The more you care for someone, the more fear you're going to have for them. Think about the relationship you see in this world, people that have young children, very fearful of their future, worried about every little thing that can hurt them. So many bad things you hear about in this world. Even people you care about, they get as they get older, all kind of things can strike them down. All kind of diseases come across. You know someone across the world, someone in a distant place, read about an earthquake or a horrible thing happening, makes you fearful for them. So whose perfect love can drive out fear? Go ahead, Norma.
I'm just thinking of, we go to the prison, and when I first went out there, before I stepped in the door, I was fearful. What am I getting into? I have learned to love these women. I want them to know God, and only God can do this in me. He's taken away any fear I have, and He has given me love for these people. I don't care what they've done. They need to know God.
That's one way God's love can drive out your fear. Instead of just being there for not worrying about what they do to you, and just to let God control that. That one good aspect of what it means, let God's love made complete among us, drive out that fear. So yeah, just a simple example. You also see in a different way, God of course loves us far deeply than we can ever understand. He looks at us, He sees many of us are, of course some of us are following Him, but many people down here, they're not following God. Does God have any fear for them? Kind of an open-ended question, more sort of something to think about as opposed to no simple answer. Donna, something?
I'm not sure if I would use the word fear. Certainly is concerned and grieved over what a lot of people choose and where they're headed.
Yeah, it's hard to put in a simple word like fear or concern, but God has a deep fear in a certain sense for them wandering away from Him. He is very, very distressed by every soul He loses. No matter how bad they look to us, God cares about each person very, very deeply. He takes that risk upon Himself. He takes a lot of risk every time He creates a new soul. This soul may come to Him or it may not. God, of course, He agonizes for us in a certain sense. So just think about what it means to love somebody to the full extent that God loves people. He takes all those burdens, takes them away from us, and takes them where? To Himself. And as we just read in 1 John, in this world, we are like Jesus. So what are we called to do? Try to take people's burdens on ourselves. Not their superficial burdens. They need a few dollars to get a new car or something like that. But the deeper burdens, the spiritual burdens they carry, absorb them into your heart. Keep an eye on what they really need. Be aware of their needs, their spiritual needs. Be there for them when they need something.
Karen. I was just thinking, and if we do that and it just stays within us, it can be our burden. And I think He wants us to go to Him. Okay, I'm carrying this burden, Jesus, what do I do here? Kind of lay it at His feet. I kind of see that, kind of passing it on to Him.
Right. That,
to get wisdom, to get whatever. So that we can be the conduit back to this person, because if we just grab all these burdens, we can just disintegrate.
You saw the next bet. That's exactly where we're trying to lead. Just say, you take these burdens on yourself, understand this people needs things, probably don't even realize what they really need. When people are upset or distressed, sometimes they don't even realize what they really need. They need a few more dollars or need a new job. Instead of really saying they need something deeper. So take their burdens and then just do what Karen just said. Take them where? Take them to God. Let God's perfect love drive out your fear. Because God has accepted all the anxiety for everyone when they turn to Him. Just take their troubles, take their agonies, carry their burdens with them, as Galatians says, and carry them to God with them. That's a comforting vision of taking all these things and giving them to God. David had something else on that?
I was thinking fear thinks that there's an end to God's love. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, if we know that He loves us and thick and thin, then we could almost do anything, walk through any door. Kind of like Esther did. She knew. Yeah, it was a fearful thing to go for Ahasuerus without his acknowledgement, but it was a chance she had to take, and she trusted God.
Yeah, that's a good reference to Hebrews 4. We have confidence to come before God and receive the grace we need. God's love, of course, is enduring from everlasting, as the Psalms often remind us. Takes the fear away of approaching God because we know He wants us to be close with Him. So as we move on then, moving on to chapter 5, this is what we just talked about. This is what he wants us to have in mind as we read 1 John 5 now, when he talks about belief, love, and following God's words. We'll see some more about this. Let's reread the first part of 1 John 5. Get this back fresh in mind. Linda, can you read the first five verses of 1 John 5?
1 John 5. First five verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that the love of the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is the love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Okay, thank you. Thinking about that scripture we just read, let's do what we do this sometimes, just what words stand out in that scripture? Just single words, what stands out in the scripture?
God.
Okay, God, I might as well get that out of the way. One answers first, get the easiest answer. What else?
Belief.
Belief is one of the things you see a lot in this. Good one. What else?
Obey.
And what?
Sure.
What we obey is commands.
Overcome.
That's a good one.
Love.
Love, of course, is one of the big essentials we see in 1 John.
Children of God.
Children of God. One of the things we see a number of times in 1 John as well. Danny? Yeah, that's a different word to see in there, that word of not being burdensome. It's interesting in connection with the other things we just talked about. That's actually two words, but you got to get a pass on that, though. So, as we so often remind ourselves in 1 John, beside the fact that 1 John is a book of reassurance, what else will we keep reminding ourselves about what we always see in 1 John? What does it tell us about our relationship with God? I'm not sure it's on your outline.